I hope I don't take away from anything that's been said. We'll open again to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We were already here. And we will read at verse 33. This chapter, Jesus is really rebuking the Pharisees. He calls them blind guides. They were the religious leader of the time. He calls them blind guides. In verse 27, he says they're like whited sepulchres. They look so polished and perfect on the outside, but they're filled with dead man's bones. He has some very harsh words for them, and I suppose likely if you knew what went on in my head sometimes, you'd probably think the same thing about me. But that's the context. So he's really rebuking them for looking so perfect, but inside they had nothing. And in verse 33, he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" We've just been hearing about hell. And you might think, well, this wasn't written to me. But this question doesn't just apply to the Pharisees. It applies to you as well. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? The reason I say it applies to you is because probably almost every time I speak, I refer to this. Romans 3 and 23, it tells us all have sinned. It goes through a whole list of things that people are and how we're all imperfect. There's none righteous. There's none perfect. All have sinned in our natural state. Romans 6 and 23, it tells us the wages of sin is death. All of us that have sinned, we've all done things wrong. That deserves death. So I'm not much of a bad news first type of guy, but I want to start my message by helping people realize that you have a need. Just like these religious leaders, Jesus called them blind guides because they were trying to guide people and they didn't know God themselves. And he asked them one more time, verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" With that thought in mind, I want to go to Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. This is a story that likely everybody knows. It's a common Sunday school story. And we will read the whole thing. "And they came to Jericho," verse 46, "and as he went out," Jesus, "as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garments," the blind man casting away his garment, "rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." My intent tonight is to take this story and try my best to apply it to us. Just like we established in the start of the meeting, we all, in our natural state, have a need. This man also had a need. His need is quite obvious right in the start. It says his name was Blind Bartimaeus. That's how he was known. Sometimes around here, you know, if you see somebody that has something specific about them, you add that to their name. That's kind of how things have been for a long time. There's a fellow up in Tignish, I think He drives a lawnmower, and they call him Ricky Lawnmower. It's just the way. This guy was blind Bartimaeus. That's how he was known. He was known to have this problem. And he obviously couldn't do anything. He wasn't able. So his life consisted of sitting by the road and begging. So just simply in verse 47, he's sitting there, okay? He right off the bat, he's begging. He understands he has a need, and his need, and on a very basic way, is just he needed to eat. He needed to stay alive, right? The only way he could see to do that was to beg. But he had a need, and he knew his need. In verse 47, he, all of a sudden, probably the first time in his life, he sees, or he hears, I guess he doesn't see, he hears somebody that he believes can take care of his need. Jesus was, I guess you could say, he was famous in his time. There was, you know, any time he came into a city, there was always a crowd around him, and they didn't have Facebook, but if there was Facebook back then, I'm quite sure people would be posting as their statuses, Jesus is in Jerusalem, Jesus is going here today. And people didn't necessarily believe him, but they really wanted to hear what he had to say, because he was known to be a great speaker. And more than that, the rumors would have been going around about the miracles he was doing. And for somebody like blind Bartimaeus, who had a problem, was in need of a miracle, this would have really intrigued him. I know one person that's blind, and I'm quite sure she wasn't always blind. I'm quite sure if she heard of any remedy to cure her blindness, I'm quite sure she'd be there to get that remedy, especially if it was free. It didn't take any money. So he saw one who could fix his problem. To take it a step further, like I said, a lot of people didn't, they just saw Jesus as someone who could heal things, someone who was a great speaker, someone who had knowledge beyond what he should, but they didn't really see him as the Messiah. The Messiah was one that God had promised to free his people, to save his people. And a lot of people didn't see Jesus as this. That was their problem. But in verse 47, he cries out. In verse 47, I'll read it. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so Nazareth, that's just where he was from. He was known by where he was from. Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, so his name, thou son of David. This has taken it a step further, because this blind man, he must have had some form of conviction, because that right there is him calling Jesus the Messiah, the promised one from God, that one who had been promised to come in the line of David. And in that, he was making a statement. It was a bold statement. And going on to verse 48, people asked him to stop. He knew there was people around, and if he had any pride at all, he probably would have. You know, if he had any social standing at all, if he had any friends, this might not have been a popular opinion. This was really what God was, what Jesus was killed for, was claiming to be God's son, the Messiah. So it was not a popular opinion. And if he had any pride, he would have stopped. Maybe he did have pride, but maybe he realized his need was greater than that pride. And maybe you have pride tonight. I know I did for a long time. I hope you can see that your need is greater than your pride. Pride is temporary. Pride is not something that lasts longer than the crowd you're in, right? But your need lasts. Like Dale was just speaking of, there's an eternity after this life. And there's a place called hell. And if your pride gets in the way for a few hours, a few years, it could result in eternity in hell. This man's problem was not nearly as serious as yours, but he, if he had pride, he overcame it. He cried out. He acknowledged the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, God's son. In verse 50, well, in verse 49, he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus said, bring him to me, or tell him that I want to see him. In verse 50, I think there's something that's very important. And it says, and he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. I read in Sunday school this morning, it was something that I came across, John chapter 5, verse 39, and I guess just so I don't misquote it, I'll turn there, you can too. John chapter 3. That's definitely not written down. John chapter 5, verse 39. I just realized that there's 36 verses in John 3. John chapter 5, verse 39. And Jesus is again talking to, I'm pretty sure it's the kind of the same group of people here, based on the context. And he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's saying, the scriptures testify of me, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. So he's telling these people, they search the scriptures, they think based on just the scriptures, based on their knowledge, based on their study, that they think based on that they have eternal life. But Jesus was saying, these scriptures, they speak of me. I'm all through them, but you won't come to me. So these people, they're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their own ability for eternal life. But the scriptures all point to Jesus as being the source of eternal life, the source of salvation, the source of relationship with God. And in verse 50, I thought it was pretty cool to see that they recorded that he cast away his garment. Anything that he had, I'm going to apply this to you now, anything that you might be holding on to as your way to heaven, whether it's your own wisdom, whether it's something you've been taught, if it's not of the Bible, it's not God's way, it's not Jesus' way. And it says that whatever he had, whatever he counted as important, with Jesus in his sights, or with Jesus there, he cast his own things aside. He cast anything that he was holding on to for his comfort, for his life, he cast it aside. And he went to Jesus. And you have to do the same thing. If you're holding on to anything that's not Jesus, you're never going to get eternal life. That's not scriptural. That's based on the Bible. There's one way to eternal life, and that's Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he saw his one way to sight, and that was Jesus. He cast away his garments. Again, he acknowledged him as Christ, as the Son of David in the verse before. So he understood that anything he could do did not even come close to the Messiah, the promised one. We'll keep on reading the story from there. So, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he followed his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This is a nice picture of salvation. Jesus presents us, and that's what I'm trying to do tonight, is to present us with our need. I spent, I think it was 19 years of my life, funny how the numbers leave you, with a need. And eventually, I actually faced it. And I'm only using my own story because it's personal to me, it's easy to share, but for 19 years, I didn't understand I had a need. I knew it in my head, but it never drove home. This blind man, he probably knew, it was very obvious to him his whole life that he had a need. But me, it was easier to ignore, I suppose. But when I understood my need, I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that there was no way in my own doing that I could avoid the damnation of hell as we were reading. There was nothing I could do. And just like this blind man, I looked to Jesus. And just like Jesus handled it with this blind man, there was no holding back. There was no dangling the carrot on a string. When the blind man asked, Jesus gave. And it was the same with me, and if you ask anybody here that's received salvation, they'll say the exact same thing. When we acknowledged our need in front of Jesus, he didn't hold back. For me, I read those verses, I read those words that I shared with you guys tonight. The wages of sin is death, and I understood. I have sinned, and I have earned death. I deserve it completely. And just as quick as a flash, I understood I needed Christ. Those words that we sing sometimes, Jesus died for me, rang in my ear. And it's not, you know, it's not a feeling or anything like that. It's just a promise from God that, well, he says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's written to Christians, but it applies to non-Christians. If we confess our sin before Jesus, he will forgive them right then and there. That's how it happened for me. That's how it happened with this blind man. He confessed his need, and instantly, Lord says, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately, he received his sight. There was no holding back on the Lord Jesus' part. In my experience, the holding back is completely on the sinner's side, because I know the Lord Jesus would never hold back. So what's holding you back tonight? Because as we read, and I guess maybe another question that I want to stick with you is, how will you escape the damnation of hell? The Lord Jesus asked it, not in hatefulness. Dale ended off the chapter when he read, and there's love there. He's genuinely upset that these people didn't want him, that these people were going to miss out on salvation. He doesn't want you to miss out on salvation. John 3:17 says that he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. One thing that's often been said is a lot of the verses in John 3 can be replaced with your word, with your name. And I know that Jesus didn't come to condemn Luke. Jesus came so that Luke could be saved through him. Just to finish off, we're going to be out early tonight, but I want to read in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. When I was saved, I wasn't really necessarily even thinking of the cross. I just understood that Jesus died for me. But every time I share the gospel, Dale was saying it is a logical thing. Even though it doesn't make sense why, it does make sense. And this verse, I think, explains it nicely. And it says, for he, God, for God, I'm going to put names in here, but this is what it's saying. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus had never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, who had never sinned, we had sinned. We've already talked about that. All have sinned. We had sinned. Jesus had never sinned. He went to that cross. The punishment that we deserved, that death, the wages that we had earned, he took it. He died on that cross. All those sins that we could never ever pay for, Jesus paid for in the sight of God. And so Jesus, God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we, us, the sinners, we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God through Jesus. So, there's nothing that we can do. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, all the doing is completed. Now 'tis look, believe, and live. And that's all that's left. You know, this blind man understood that Jesus was his. Jesus was the one who could heal him. Jesus was the one who could meet his need. And the exact same applies to us. Jesus is the one that can meet our need. That verse, I keep repeating it. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way that we can escape. This verse tells us that Jesus took our sins. He died for them. He paid for them so that we can be made the righteousness of God. If we're righteous in God's sight, he has no reason to ever keep us out of heaven. He has no reason to send us to hell. He has no reason to punish us for those sins that we have done. We deserve punishment, but Jesus took it. And all he asks you to do is believe in him. We'll pray. Father, we give thanks for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for pictures that, although maybe I don't do them justice, this blind man, a picture of salvation. We're thankful that those of us that are saved can see how easily it lines up. And we pray that you would help those that aren't saved see as well. We know that they need the Spirit and they need your working, and we pray that you would work tonight. And we pray that whatever is standing in the way would be removed. It's so important and so serious, and we don't want to ever hear of anyone we love going to hell. So we just pray that you would not necessarily let our words work, but pray that you would work with your own words. Pray that whatever we've read might stick in the minds of sinners tonight, and that they would see their need of a Savior and just accept him. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for salvation, and that we could share this message. We'd ask that you would bless our drive home. Keep us safe. In your Son's name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.